Take your Bible, if you would. You're going to be turning a lot into it. And I want to, begin in Matthew chapter 24, and we'll make our way into the New Testament further, into the book of Ephesians. A little bit of a topical study tonight that God struck me with from this verse that we found in our text this morning. And I think it to be a need for a message to be preached on. I think it to be a reminder message and kind of a sobering message as far as confronting us in our thinking here, but more of a warning, more of a kind and gracious warning dealing on the subject of deception. We find in Matthew chapter 24 in our text this morning as Jesus is speaking to the nation of Israel, and he's telling them about the course of the age, and he's telling them about what would happen as a nation. He begins this instruction with a warning in verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed." That means pay attention. Make a note. Let it be in your forefront of your thinking. Take heed that no man deceive you. So important was this instruction that the Lord was giving, for he loved the nation of Israel and he did not want them to be deceived. He did not want them to be suffering in that capacity. But he knew that as the age would unfold, and especially as they would move into the tribulation period, that there would be an unleashing of deception in their life. Matter of fact, when you came down to verses 9 and 10, he talked about that. He said, "They'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Verse 10, he said, "Many will be offended and shall betray." There's deception and betrayal, one another. "And they shall hate one another." Matter of fact, if you go over to verse number 26, he said in that day, "If they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, he being Christ, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber. Believe it not." Even up a little bit further in the passages, he talks about verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets. They shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And that word elect there would refer to the nation of Israel. And so as God is warning them about deception as a nation, I do believe that there is warning for God's child about deception in our life. And I will show it to you from the Word of God. The Bible said in verse number 4, Jesus' warning is that no man would deceive you. We know that Satan is the great deceiver. We understand that that's one of his names, the deceiver. We understand that his motivation is behind much of the deception, as it has been all the way from the Garden of Eden. But the warning was to watch out for man's deception. And I found in the New Testament that as it unfolds, the warning unfolds to the church, that man is divided into two parts. It's divided into the outward man, but it's also divided into the inward man, or it's divided into others, but it also deals with ourselves. And so the Bible is very clear in warning that there are others that we need to be careful, other people that have, just like they do will here in the nation of Israel, an agenda to deceive. Matter of fact, go if you would to Ephesians chapter number 4, and let me show you what the Bible says here in this great passage that deals with the security of the church. It deals with the gifts that God had given to the church, and he gives them in verse number 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The purpose for that is that we would all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, complete, or mature man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now watch verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of what class? Doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to do what? To deceive. So Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, is saying to them, now listen, there are people, I believe, motivated by the enemy, the arch deceiver, who are actually lying in wait to deceive you. These are people that are looking by every sleight and every cunning and every craftiness and every little new doctrine or whatever, and their purpose is to deceive the church. That's why Paul said, I've given you a pastor, I've given you evangelists, I've given you teachers, I've given you all that you need for your perfection and for your edifying. You say, Pastor, there's nobody out there trying to deceive me that I know of. Listen, we live in a world that has an agenda to deceive. And unfortunately, the enemy comes as a roaring lion, but he's also come as an angel of light. And that deception now is even permeating the walls of the church building and finds its way into the church house. I'm nothing, Pastor. I'm not important. No, nobody would be trying to deceive me. Well, I got news for you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're as important as everybody else. The Bible said that we have a responsibility, and I touched on this, and I won't turn you there right away. But the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that we were not allowed to, that we were not permitted to allow any means to deceive us, which means that you and I need to be on guard and looking and careful and observant for the deception that comes into our life. Pastor, how would I recognize deception? Wonderful. I'm glad you asked. Look, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 5, pick up if you would. In verse number 6, let no man deceive you with what? Vain words. That word vain is the word empty. With false words, false doctrine. He's saying you as a believer need to be able to be sensitive to empty words or vain words. Now, the only way that you're going to be sensitive to that is if you have at your heart and your mind the Word of God. What a beautiful song. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The problem is, I think that what's happened to the believer is, we don't know the Word of God. By that I mean we don't have it memorized. We don't have it on the tip of our tongue. We don't know where it is. We don't know the truth behind it. We're not easily able to assess it or to reach it. Therefore, when we hear words that people dictate to us as being spiritual, we just receive them. And really and truthfully, we're receiving empty words. You ought to be able, the Bible said, let all men be liar and let God be true. The Bible said, if any man is going to speak, let him speak the oracle or the word of God. You need to be able to distinguish God's word from vain words. There's a problem if you go to Romans chapter 16, and I want you to see these. Now, you got to read these verses. I won't preach long. I only got about 20 more. Romans chapter 16, just to kind of show you how subtle the enemy is and how he uses people to deceive us. The first encouragement there was, don't let any man deceive you with vain words. Here's how they embark those vain words. Look, if you would, at Romans 16, look at verse number 18. Actually, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and do what? Avoid them. So he's preaching to the church here. Somebody comes into this church and they want to say to you in privately, hey, you know, I know this is the church position on this and this is what they believe, but I don't believe this, or this is contrary, or I don't agree with this. You need to mark that person and avoid that person. Anybody that has the chutzpah, I don't even know if that's a good word, but it came out, to find somebody in our building and have the audacity to come and say, I don't believe the church is right on this doctrine. That's not just a simple thing. That is in a very aggressive movement on that person. The Bible says if that is going to bring about a contrary or a divisiveness, and that keeps happening, we are to mark that and avoid that. But there's a problem. Look in verse number 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own what? Belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now that doesn't mean that we can't have differences of opinion. We can have differences of opinion. Some like a traditional song, some like a contemporary song. Fine. Some want communion every week, some want communion whatever. You may have a difference on certain things. We can have differences. But when it comes to the doctrines of the Word of God, those are to be settled from God's Word. Amen? The problem is, in that deception, we have vain words, but those vain words are cloaked in, how did he say it? Good words and fair speeches. So the devil knows how to make the language flowery. But there's one thing that you and I have that the devil doesn't have, and that's the Spirit of God. And so when you hear, and the Spirit of God's pricked in you, it's pricked for a reason. So there are people that lie in wait to deceive. Bible says, don't let any man deceive you with vain words. Those would be words against the Word of God. Don't let them put it in good, fair speeches. Be careful about that. Go, if you would, to 1 John, all the way back in the back of the New Testament. There's another word of caution about somebody deceiving us. 1 John chapter 3. Right. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is what? Righteous. Even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So one of the two ways that the Bible says that we have to be careful about men deceiving us is there will be an attack with vain words, good speeches, and other things that will attack the sound doctrine. Then they're going to try to deceive you, and here's where you got to be careful. He said they're going to try to say that just because somebody doesn't do righteousness doesn't mean that they're not righteous. So not only are they after the Word of God, they're after the power of God. Not only are they after the doctrines of the Word of God, they're also after the application of the Word of God. And so, especially in the day which we live in, there's this deception out there that a man doesn't have to be what he says he is. There's a deception out there that our walk doesn't have to match our talk. And Jesus said, through 1 John, he said, now listen, don't let any man deceive you. If a man says he's a Christian, he's going to act like a Christian. So let me talk to my unmarried girls. If a boy says he's a Christian, he's going to act like a Christian. Okay? If a boy will mistreat you when you're dating, he will destroy you when you're married. And all the old women should say, go get him, preacher. So how do I know if this guy should be my friend? If he says he's righteous, he'll act righteous. So what's happening in the church now? Well, the church is, no, as long as you profess, you know, then you can just live however you want to live, or as long as you do that. No, don't let anybody deceive you from that. When I got saved, I became a new creature. How about you? Okay. So there's this deception out there that will come from other people. These people lie in wait, waiting to deceive, and they're going to activate that against the Word of God, and they're going to activate that against the power of God. And we need to be careful about letting that happen in our lives. Go, if you would, now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me show you a couple of thoughts here about a different avenue of deception. We understand that others will try to deceive us. The command was, let not that happen. Don't be deceived by any means. Don't let it happen with vain words, good words, fair speeches. Don't let it happen when it comes to righteousness. And now if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse number 18. Let no man deceive, say that next word, himself. Okay, so don't let any man deceive you, and don't deceive yourself. Now, this is where I think we suffer the most. And really and truthfully, when you look at the context of this, in this chapter about holiness, he says, let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in, say it, class, men. For all things are yours. So there is the possibility and the danger for you to deceive yourself. I cannot think of anything more dangerous than self-deception. I can't think of anything that's more suffering in our lives than to live lives of self-deceit. And so when we go through the New Testament here, you're going to see all kinds of acknowledgement when it comes to this. Go, if you would, to chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, and let me show you some ways that we deceive ourselves. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not, what class? A fornicator, an idolater, an adulterer, an effeminate, an abuser of themselves with mankind, a thief, a covetous person, a drunkard, a reviler, an extortioner shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I can think of no greater self-deception than to say that I'm a believer and live one of these lives. Amen? Go, if you would, to chapter 15. Look, if you would, at verse number 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Pastor, what does that verse mean? That means don't be deceived. Who you hang around is important. Don't be deceived that evil cannot corrupt goodness. What does that mean? That means that we deceive ourselves thinking, well, I can be in this position and it won't affect me. I can be around this kind of communication, but I will still be mannerly. Or I can be around this kind of worldliness, but I'll still shine for the cause of Christ. Paul said, now wait a minute, don't be deceived. Evil communication does corrupt good manners. Now everybody wants friends and everybody wants to relate. But listen, I believe that God will bring them in our lives. Don't live in the self-deception that you can handle evil communication and it won't corrupt your good manners. Go, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. I want you to see a couple more. We've got four more. Galatians chapter 6. This is dealing with self-deception here. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is, what class? Nothing. He deceiveth himself. You write one word right there and you write the word pride. Not only is there a danger of self-deception when it comes to salvation, not only is there a danger of self-deception when it comes to holiness and who I hang around and what how my life is, but there is tremendous danger in self-deception of pride. And the Bible says, if I think myself to be something, when I am really nothing, then I deceive myself. Now, I've been guilty of this, and I'm sure you have been guilty of this. Truth be told, we are sinners saved by grace, but our flesh wants to flaunt itself. Our flesh wants to puff itself up. And every time I think myself to be something, I usually cause tremendous harm and damage, and I find myself wayward. It's those moments when I understand the humility of God. If I live in a self-deceived moment and think of myself more highly than I should, I have set myself up for failure. Be careful about that. Well, Pastor, they owe me this, or they need to do this, or I deserve this. No, my friend, we have God's grace, and that should be sufficient. Look, if you would, at verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not, say it out loud, please, mocked. Just let that ring in your ears a minute. God is not mocked. The reason God's not mocked is God knows the truth. He goes on to describe this. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Listen, again, a danger to live under the guise of self-deception and think somehow that God's going to be mocked. To think somehow that I can be publicly one thing, privately another, or I can do this with this hidden agenda, or I can do this and nobody knows about it. Let me tell you something, God knows about everything. So the law of the harvest is what you sow reaps. And if I'm sowing to the flesh those seeds, they're going to come up in the corruption of my flesh. It is impossible for it to do anything else. But sometimes we think, well, it'll be okay this one time, or God understands this, or I'll just do this. And we're sowing to the flesh, and we're hoping to reap to the Spirit. But that is an impossibility. God will not be mocked. As a parent, when your child mocks you, what does that do to you? Anger, rage, discipline. You can handle a lot of things, but you can't handle mocking. Neither can God. praise the Lord, if I sow to the Spirit, I can reap of the Spirit of those things. It's a wonderful promise. Go, if you would, please, to the book of James, chapter 1. I have two more, James and one more. James chapter 1. Very familiar verse. Verse 22, we'll read all the way down. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So if I'm only a hearer and I never apply God's word to my life, the only person I've hurt is myself. Amen? For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be what class? Blessed. Now look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, but he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own what? Heart. This man's religion is vain. Self-deception. The Bible says, now listen, if you're just a hearer, but you're never a doer of the word of God, the only person you've hurt is yourself. The other thing he has said is this. If you seem to be religious, but you cannot control your tongue. I would grab my tongue, but I got to shake your hand. You're deceiving your own heart. Your tongue gives your heart away. So when you're angry, what does your tongue say about your heart? When you're blessed, what does your tongue say about whether you think yourself more highly or not? Your tongue and the words that you speak validate, look what he said there, this man's religion is vain. It validates your heart. So we do a lot to disguise our tongue, but really we're deceiving ourselves. Powerful words. Go, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1. This is the last one. 1 John chapter 1. Look, if you would, at verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's a self-deception to say that I don't have sin. And so a person who's not saved lives in self-deception. Well, I don't need to be saved. I don't have any sin. A believer who never comes to God to find cleansing from his sin lives in a self-deception world. And Jesus is telling us, now listen, he told the nation of Israel, as you go through the fire, don't let anybody deceive you. Well, church, we may go through some fiery testings of our time, amen? And we're going through our lives, and we're going through these moments. And the same admonition is to you. Don't let anybody deceive you on God's word or the power of God in the gospel. Don't let somebody bring about things on the doctrine. Don't let somebody tell you that a righteous person doesn't do righteousness. Don't buy that. And then also, don't deceive yourself by living according to those principles or positioning yourself against the word of God. Pastor, I'm living in deception right now Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid that if I surrender to God, He's going to take everything I have. Well, I got news for you. You don't need to be afraid about that. He's going to. But He's going to take everything you have and give to you everything you need. And nobody supplies our needs like God supplies our needs. So I'm afraid, Pastor, if I surrender, it's going to take everything I have. What you have doesn't even compare. Pastor, I'm afraid that if I surrender, I can't live the life. I got news for you. You can't live the life. But hallelujah, He lives His life in and through you. Pastor, I'm afraid that if I surrender my life, or if I surrender in this, what He's going to ask me to do with the Word of God and the application of that is going to be so life-changing, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Let me tell you, the greatest thing you can do is do the will of God in your life. The only person you are hurting in your self-deception is you. Why would you do that? Because we're afraid. I don't really, and I'll close with this statement, God help me with this. I don't really think that God's people love sin. Sin has a pleasure for a season. It has an enjoyment. But I don't know about you, but I hate sin. If you hate sin, say amen. It's not that God's people live and entertain self-deception because we love sin. We're just afraid to let God take complete control of our lives. We can't see life without our control. But my friend, if you could surrender your life to the control of God, you will have a life that will so far out surpass the life you could ever give that all you would do would be to lift up your hands and say, to God be the glory for the great things He hath done in my life. And God's people said, amen. Shall we pray?